John 21. We're going to read the first, if I find it here, the first three verses. And I'm going to pick a time here to teach a Bible lesson, give you some things that I think will help you. I'm going to teach on this subject tonight, how to quit-proof yourself. How to quit-proof yourself. Quit-proof yourself. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We're going to bounce around, look at a lot of verses. I think this is a vitally important time. We're going to just take the Word of God and learn some things tonight. And thank you for Wednesday night Bible study, for what it has done throughout my life, all of the things that I've learned, and all the ways that I've been strengthened through the teaching of your Word. And tonight, Lord, we want that to continue here. We need that. And I pray that you'd help us and be a blessing tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that because of the Bible principles that we present, and because perhaps, Lord, there would be folks here that would affirm those Bible principles, claim those principles, claim those promises, Lord, that it might prevent someone from going astray down the road, or maybe in some way help us be wise enough to maybe help somebody who has gone astray. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. I like to teach this Bible study, and I've preached a message similar to this. We'll cover some of the same things. I think this is one of those things you ought to just bring before your people from time to time and teach the Bible and show you that there is a way to keep going for the Lord. Now, let me just say this. I picked this time on purpose. I don't know anybody that has quit lately, anybody that is quitting, or anybody that is planning on quitting. And, you know, to find a spot like that in any church to teach something from neutral ground, it takes a while. But I think we're in a good spot here. Now, because of the night's message, I may have some of you quit. I don't know. But I think that it's very important to, as Pastor Ross would say, all through his ministry, to do some preventative preaching. Now, all through your life, let me tell you a couple things that's going to happen in your life. First of all, you're going to witness. If you stay in God's work and you stay in God's house and you stay in God's will, you will witness throughout your life people quitting. You will witness people quitting. And I wish it wasn't so. I wish I could tell our young people, hey, you know what, that's something you're never going to have to grapple with. You're never going to have to witness. You're never going to have to see in your lifetime. And by the way, it may shock you who you see quit. I mean this. It just may shock you. It just may blow you out of the water. You know, sometimes we see fringe people or maybe some new converts come for a while and then they don't. But I'm telling you, it may in your lifetime shock you who you see walk away from God's will, walk away from God's house and never come back. Number two, let me say this. You will, in your lifetime, several times, be tempted to quit. You will be tempted to quit yourself. And so something like this is very important because we need some Bible help during those times, some Bible teaching, something to put back in our memory banks to hide in our hearts so that when the devil comes one of these days and whispers in your ear, see, it's not worth it. See, it's time to get off. It's time to get out. You've gone far enough. Then you'll have some biblical ammunition to shoot at him during times like that. Now, I'm going to take you through a Bible study, so get ready to use your Bibles tonight because we're going to look at several things. We see in our text here, and of course, this has been taught and preached, you know, a multitude of times here. If you've been a Christian very long, you know this story. But Peter instigates a mutiny here. He goes absent without leave, and he takes some other disciples with him, or at least influences some other disciples to make the same decision. Now, I want to talk to you about this because I think if you're going to quit-proof yourself, well, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that when I was a freshman in Bible college that Brother Howes came in there, one of the first chapel messages, and he'd always say the same thing, and any of you that heard him preach very long or was around him very much heard him say this at some point, but he would come in and he would say, I want you to go back to your dormitory rooms, and I want you to get out your dictionaries, And he said, there's two words I want you to cut out of your dictionary. The word quit and the word compromise. Quit and compromise. Go cut them out. And he'd always say the same thing. They'll be easy to find because they both begin with a K. Quit and compromise. He'd always say the same thing. And, of course, most of us freshmen couldn't find them in the K's and looked for hours, couldn't figure out why we can't find these two words. Let me tell you, that's still good advice today. That is still good advice today, because the two things that are going on in fundamentalism is we've got too much quitting and too much compromising going on. I mean, just decide that you're going to cut that word quit out of your vocabulary. You're going to put your hand to the plow, and you're going to take off for Jesus. And you know what? You're going to be able to say at the end of your life, like Paul did, I finished my course. As Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, when he right before he took that last breath. Don't fall short of finishing what God put you on this earth to do. And stay in the will of God. Stay busy serving God for your whole life. Now, I think one of the ways to quit-proof yourself is to get into the Word of God and to understand why people quit. Understand why people quit. Now, I'm going to give you several things that we're going to look at here. Let's go to John chapter number 6. Let me give you four reasons why people quit. And we're going to try to move through these. And then at the end, I'm going to give you just a list of things, just kind of shotgun, just kind of real quick there at the end, some practical things that will help you to quit-proof yourself. But I think the first thing that's important to do is to understand why people quit. John chapter 6 and verse number 16, for sake of time, one of these days, if you read the entire sermon, Jesus began preaching in verse 22, ended in verse 59. And he said some things that were pretty rough. He actually got into some meat preaching. He did some rebuking in here. He did some revealing. He did some reproving. And he was trying to take the group that was following him and heighten their motive for discipleship. He was trying to get them to graduate from being babies to mature Christians. He's trying to get them to move in that direction. Now, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? That's very important. This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? It's very important. Now think about these statements. This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Doth this offend you? What? And if you see the Son of Man ascend up from up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, that's important. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Notice this, from that time, from that moment, if you'll let me say that, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Reason number one, why do Christians quit? Why do some people start and then quit somewhere along the way? Number one, hard preaching. Hard preaching. Or, let me just say this, sound doctrine. Hard preaching or sound doctrine. And a lot of times people are excited to hear the gospel and they're excited to be saved. All of a sudden the preacher gets up and says, now listen, God didn't just save you so you could go back out in the world and act like a heathen. God expects there to be some changes in your life. And here's the Bible standard and here's the Bible way. And listen, there's some things you ought to give up and there's some things you ought to do and there's some things you ought to not do. And the preacher begins to help you and encourage you to take those steps that's going to allow you to grow and become strong in the Lord. Listen, there's some folks that when you get into that type of preaching, they just don't want anything to do about it. I think that really when Dad took his first pastorate, I think for the first amount of time in his ministry, he was very well accepted in the church of his first pastorate. You know why? Because he was preaching salvation type messages. But when he began to say, now folks, listen to me, you say you're saved, everyone in here says they're saved, now let's see what we're supposed to do as Christians, that's where you start running into problems, and that's where you start having people wanting to bail on you. Now folks, listen to me, I need to understand that in my own life, that I've got to be careful that I don't have the wrong reaction to hard preaching. Go, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Does the Bible teach this in other places? Well, of course it does. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. 4, number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then, of course, this is instruction to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and it's encouraging him, preach the Bible. Listen to it in season, out of season. Listen, when it's popular, when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Do it with longsuffering. Understand, you had to have some patience in this. Do it with doctrine. Use the Bible so people can look at it with their own eyes. Understand, it's not just you. It's them that's saying that these things. And be consistent at this thing of preaching the Bible and teaching the people. And when you have to reprove, reprove. When you need to rebuke, rebuke. When you need to exhort, exhort. Do it with patience. Do it very scripturally. But do it. Now notice verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now what this is saying is exactly what was happening back in John chapter number 6. Jesus, as long as he was doing the Beatitudes and doing some basic milk type sermons, you know what? People just, and you know what? It also helped that he fed them and, took care of their needs. And they followed him for the milk of the word and for the needs of their flesh. But all of a sudden, when he began to say, if any man will follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Oh, wait a minute. And all of a sudden, he started speaking and preaching on self-denial. When he started talking about, you have a cross and you need to pick it up and carry it. I'm going to carry mine, but you also have one. When he started talking about obedience and following Christ. And listen, folks, we've got too many Christians that are picking and choosing. I mean, they treat the Bible like a smorgasbord. Well, I like this part, so I'll do it. But that part I don't agree with, so I'm not going to. I like this. We got too many preachers, by the way, preaching it that way too. And just preaching the things that they know aren't going to cause any ripple in the church. Listen, hard preaching. People quit because they get to the point where the Bible says something that they don't want to live or that they don't want to do or in an area they don't want to change. And when they do that, they're forced to make a decision. And a lot of times what they'll do, and folks, there's this great falling away that's happening right now in Christianity. They are running off. I mean, they're leaving Bible preaching churches, jumping ship and running somewhere in some ecumenical, contemporary mess somewhere where somebody's going to get up and tickle their ears every Sunday and pat them on the head. You know, come in as you are, leave as you were, and no change, no conviction, no preaching on sin, no challenge to go out and do something for Jesus Christ to be better than you were. It's just almost a psychobabble that's coming from the pulpits. Now, that means that if I'm not going to quit, if I'm going to quit proof myself, I'm going to understand that all of us are susceptible to this, and I've got to decide that, you know what, if it's in the book, it ought to be preached, number one. My preacher's doing me a favor by preaching the Bible.
Amen.
Whether or not he's in my tater patch or not, he's doing me a favor.
Amen.
by preaching the Bible. I'm going to stay in a church where there's a preacher that will get up and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to get in a church where there's a preacher that won't tiptoe through the tulips on the subjects that he knows isn't popular in this day and age. I mean, he's going to say it like it is. He's going to preach it like it is. And even if I have to say, oh me, instead of amen, I'm going to stay there because I need hard preaching. I'm going to learn to love hard preaching. I'm going to learn to respond to hard preaching. I'm going to learn to welcome hard preaching. I'm going to say, preacher, thank you. And instead of slipping out another door, going out and giving him a cold shoulder, I'm going to look him in the eyeball and say, thank you, keep it up. Even when it hurts, I need it, preacher. I need it. Thank you. And folks, listen to me. You start getting soft in this area and tender in this area. And, you know, instead of coming in and just listen to the Bible, and then if you need to hit the altar, you know, you come in to critique whether or not this particular message is one that you're going to agree with or not. You're in trouble when you get in that area of your life. You're in trouble. And so just decide that you're going to enjoy, you're going to love, and you're going to respond to hard preaching, because the reason people quit is because they want to live a certain way or do certain things, and they don't want to hear about it from the pulpit. But if you come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to hear about it from the pulpit. You're going to hear about it from the pulpit. And I'm not doing that to hurt you. I'm doing that to help you. But let me say this. No matter how anybody reacts, The admonition is here, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And you know what he was saying to Timothy? Don't worry about how the peoples react. You better realize you're going to stand before Jesus Christ himself and answer for whether or not you were a Bible preacher or not. And so I'm a lot more worried about what Christ's reaction will one day be than I am any reaction here on a week-to-week basis. And I have to be that way. And so you ought to be saying, praise the Lord. Thank God we got a preacher that's like that. All right, hard preaching. Number two, what is another reason? There's four reasons that people quit, four I'm going to cover tonight at least. And I think they're the four main ones. Number two, love for the world. 2 Timothy, we're there, chapter 4, and look at verse number 10. Love of the world or love for the world. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me. You know what he did? He quit. He quit! He quit! For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Now, let me just share this with you, folks. There's a lot of Christians that are leaving the house of God and the will of God. You know why? Because they have fallen in love with this world. Fall in love with the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're commanded, do not fall in love with this world. Don't fall in love with it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, I'm going to give you this at the end, but let me just go ahead and give you a little bit of this. See, the liberals, they don't want to lose people. And so they're willing to compromise to keep people. So if you'll think about this, number one, hard preaching. What's the first thing that went out the window in our liberal churches? Hard preaching or sound doctrine has been replaced with ear tickling. Number two, think about this one, love for the world. They replace separation preaching or separatist preaching. Separation from the world's been replaced with an acceptance of the world. So that way, if they tone down the preaching and tickle the ears, bring worldliness into the church, all of a sudden they have, in their mind, eliminated two of the reasons why people leave the church. But what you've got is a church with a backslidden preacher that's tickling your ear and contaminating you and your family with worldliness. He's not doing you a favor. And you may not leave that. You may choose to stay in that, but the best thing for you to do would be to leave that. Let me give you the third one, okay? Acts chapter 12. Let's go there. Acts chapter 12. Now we had Demas quit, and he quit because of his love of the world. Acts chapter 12, we read about another young man that for a while was under the tutelage of the apostles, but he also quit. He also quit. Acts chapter 12, are you there? Verse number 11 and 12, let me introduce you to this young man. Verse number 11, when Peter was come to himself, this is after he got out of jail, miraculously was delivered by the angels from jail. He shows up to the prayer meeting. Remember the story? Now when Peter was come to himself and said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. John Mark, that's John Mark's house. Okay, came to the house of Mary, the mother, I'm sorry, Mary's house, but she was the mother of John Mark. Remember John Mark? Now let's take a look at chapter 13, or, I'm sorry, verse number 25, same chapter, chapter 12, verse number 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark. They decided they'd take him. He wanted to go. He wanted to go on the next mission trip. Now, if you will, chapter 13, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company was loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and to Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, let me give you something here I want you to kind of think about here. Are you listening? There's four reasons. Number one, people quit because of hard preaching. Number two, people quit because they just love the world too much. They get into an old-fashioned church that actually preaches against worldliness. You're preaching against something I love. I'm not staying here and listening to this. They go back out. You know why? Because they just love the world more than they love God. They just aren't willing to give up some things for Jesus Christ. The next thing is this. It's just, and let me just make it very simple. A lack of commitment to the work. A lack of commitment to the work. Now here John Mark, boy, he comes and And he's influenced and affected by Barnabas and Saul. And boy, he sees Peter in the previous chapter miraculously delivered. He sits around the house, his mom's house, where these apostles liked to come, where the prayer meetings were. Sit around at the table and listen to these great missionaries tell their war stories. Talk about the great movings of God. Talk about the great revivals. Talk about the things that are happening. Boy, I tell you what, Barnabas and Saul get geared up to go out in the mission field, and next thing you know, that John Mark says, you know what, I want a part of this. I want to be in on this. But you know what, John Mark listened to all the glory stories, but he didn't really take into consideration how hard the ministry was going to be just day in and day out. You know what, folks, it's not all glory stories. And you don't always have victory days. Sometimes you just get beat up pretty bad. And you know what? It's not all glorious illustrations. Sometimes it's just gutting it out. And what we have in our society is a lack of commitment to the work. I'm talking about where somebody says, I'm talking about, you know, somebody that comes to his pastor 30-some years ago and says, give me a bus route, and he's still there today. You know why? Not because it's glorious, not because of some illustration he heard, not because it's easy, but because he made a commitment to it. Sunday school teachers that are sitting right in this room that took a class, and you know what? Maybe they went in there with rose-colored glasses, but boy, those things get taken off pretty quick. And you know, and next thing you know, you find out it's like anything else. It's just work, and you have good Sundays, and you have bad Sundays, and you have Sundays where God does show up, and it seems like something happened. You got some Sundays where you walk out of there and say, I don't even know why I bothered. Honestly. And so, but you know what? You don't quit or join based on whether or not on a particular week things went well or didn't go so well. You make a commitment to the work. And because you made that commitment to the work, you're there when it's good, you're there when it's bad, you're there when it's slow, you're there when it's fast, you're there when it seems to be succeeding, you're there when it seems to be failing, but you stick with it. You just make a commitment. Whatever happened. I was telling Brother Tom, I'm doing just a little bit along in December. I'm taking part of several days, and I'm like grabbing one thing in my office and trying to reclaim the office. Now this will continue through 2009, but I grabbed one file drawer out and said, listen, I got about an hour. I'm going to go through this file drawer. I'm going to eliminate things that need to be eliminated, consolidate things. You guys, and I'm getting towards the end of the year where I need to wrap some things up, box some things, and start over and try to reclaim everything. So I grabbed one, went through it, and I'm going through all this stuff, and I came across a file that's been in my file drawer off and on. I never have had to, and it's back in there. There's for some reason I can't just get rid of this file, although there's parts of it I need to get rid of. But I was telling him, I kept a journal for a little bit of time in Bible college, and I wish I'd have kept it the whole time, but I didn't, and I kept a journal. And in that journal, I wrote down, I was talking about what happened that particular day, and I said something to the effect, I didn't bring it in here with me, but something exciting happened today. I said I was walking up to the college, and a Pastor McBride came in a car with Tom Fry and Tom, and then I put a question mark because I couldn't remember his last name. Well, it was Tom Walton. And I said in there, Tom question mark is thinking about coming to, I know your name now, but... Tom question mark is thinking, that's terrible, but it's thinking about coming to college here. I'm going to pray about that. Now, you know what, brother, we've come a long way since then. There's been a lot of water flow underneath the bridge since then. And I sat there and looked at that and today and rejoiced in my heart knowing what I was going to preach tonight. I picked up that paper and I thought, here this guy, and don't get mad at me, Sister Loris, but he was coming out of less than a fundamental situation and landing in a cult. No, I'm not gonna, borderline, okay? But if you never attended Howell's Anderson, I'm kidding, okay? But kind of. Me and brother Jonathan went hunting. I remember what that story, I'm getting about four stories started here, so help me find my way back in a minute. We decided we'd go hunting several months ago, and so we went out, and it was raining. But I said, it's going to quit. Let's just go, brother. Come on. It's pouring. It'll quit. So we won't both go out there, and he doesn't look real enthusiastic, but he hears this preacher saying that it'll quit, and he has faith that his preacher can pray and stop the rain. And needless to say, it rained the whole time we were there and got worse. And the whole time I was sitting up in this tent, I'm thinking, what am I doing? And I'd think about getting down, and I'd say, no, I'm already wet. There's going to be a big buck come through. I'm just going to stick it out. And we sat out there for 2.5-3 hours in the rain, and just got drenched. When I got down, I could hardly walk. I had a heavy pair of coveralls on. They were soaked to the point where I could hardly walk. So I finally walk up and meet him. He's standing there, and he's going like this. And first thing I said was, if we went to any other college but Hiles Anderson, we'd have got out of those stands a long time ago. Amen? And then he said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I said, I don't know, bless God. Doesn't matter. Amen? Bless God, just do it. But let me say this, folks. We could use a little bit of that in Christianity today. I don't know if college needs to be as hard as it was, but I wouldn't want it to be a whole lot easier. Maybe we just need some place to send some kids to test their commitment. Maybe we need some old-fashioned Baptist boot camps out there. Now, I think that there could have been some things different, and there have made some adjustments and changes. They killed enough of us to make some adjustments. But I'm just saying, wait a minute. What happened? You know what the problem is? We got a generation of young people that don't know what it is to make a commitment, stick to it. I mean, don't make an appointment in my office, walk in there, dear lady, look across at me and say, well, I just don't love my husband anymore, so I'm going to get a divorce. Don't you do that. You're talking to the wrong guy. I don't care if you love him or not. You made a commitment. You made a commitment. Mom and Dad's going to celebrate 50 years of wedding, 50th wedding anniversary next month. You know why they're still married? Oh, because they've always, it's just they're the stars and the hearts and the, it's been a while. The flowers and the, they've been googly-eyed for, no, it's because they committed to each other. You know what? They've had the ups, they've had the downs, they've had the zigs, they've had the zags, but you know what? They just made a commitment. Amen. It's a little quiet in here, but we need to get a rebaptism into our society of just making a commitment and doing it. Okay? And so we have this lack of commitment to the work. I mean, John Mark got into something, found out it was a little harder than he thought it was going to be, so you know what he did? He went home. Well, just get in there and start it. Brother Tom, I'm glad you're in church still. Brother, thank God. It's good to see you and your wife. You know what, you guys? The reason they're here is not because everything's always gone right. Now, I'm not just pointing him out, but I happen to read that today. By the way, in the same file, brother, I pulled out a little note that big. Watch this. A little girl several years ago came to me and said, Pastor, came to Pastor and then came to me and started talking. I want to go to the Christian school. Nagged and nagged and begged and pleaded. Put her in the Christian school. After 1 year, I held the note in my hand a few hours ago. And it said, Brother Jerry, I know you're going to be disappointed in me, but I'm going back to Shackamack. Said, several people have come to talk to me from there, and they really need a catcher for the softball team. I used to catch for the softball team, and I miss it, and they really need me, so I'm going back to Shackamack. And she put her name at the bottom of it, and she put P.S. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to change it about this. I made up my mind. I'm not going to change it about this. By the way, that young lady's life is a mess today. A mess. She's caught up in the drug culture right here in Jacksonville. I'm telling you what she's told me. And this isn't rumorville. She's caught up in the drug culture right here in Jacksonville. You know why? She quit. I thought about something today. Boy, this is good. Here's a thought for you young people. You better think about this. Before you make a decision to quit, I mean, you're right at that point where you're thinking about quitting. I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to figure out how old you are. Then I want you, in your mind, to take yourself about 20 years ahead. And I want you, 20 years older and 20 years wiser, as best you can, to put yourself there. Then I want you to turn around and I want you to look back at that moment. And I want you to think about what that you would wish that you would do at this moment. Now think about what I said. It'll take some thinking. It's going to require an out-of-body experience. I heard a great message this week entitled, How to Change Your Past. You can't change your past. You know what the preacher said? Just what I just told you. He said, you know how to change your past? He said, in your mind, go to the future, turn around, and make the present the past, and change it if you're about to do something you shouldn't do. Man, that's good stuff. I went, wow. That's good stuff. So many times, in just a moment's time, a few things go wrong. I'm not just talking to teenagers here. Now, I'm talking to young adults. I'm talking about young married couples with little kids. You get mad over something. You trot your kids out of here. Preacher didn't say something exactly right. Heaven forbid your little darling got mistreated in the Christian school, or some Sunday school teacher didn't. And so that's enough for you. That's enough. You better think about where that kid's going to be in 10 years, not where they're at right now. I can't tell you in my lifetime how many people I've run into. I mean, I've lived long enough where I'm just not seeing the beginning of quitting. I'm seeing the end of quitting. I'm seeing the results of quitting. I had enough people look at me in the eye, tears in their eyes, and said, Brother Jerry, I'd give everything I had if I could go back and unmake that decision to leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church, unmake that decision to pull my kids out of Christian school. I'd give everything I had. But you can't do it then. You can't do it then. As R.G. Lee would say, you can't put an egg back once you stepped on it. Can't unscramble an egg. Are you thinking with me? I mean, folks, listen to me. This matter of quitting, just decide you're not going to get involved in it. You're not going to be influenced by it. Now, instead of reacting wrongly to hard preaching, thank God for hard preaching. Embrace hard preaching. Respond to hard preaching. And decide to, instead of dabbling around with the world and having a love affair with the world, decide that you're going to have the same view of the world as God has. You're not going to love the world, the things that are in the world. Listen, make a commitment to the work of God and keep that commitment. If it goes good, keep it. If it goes bad, keep it. If it's on the upside, keep it. If it's on the downside, keep it. In the good weather, in the bad weather, it doesn't make any difference. Just make a commitment and keep it. And number four, let me have you look at this, Matthew chapter 13. And I think this may be one of the greatest things that we're facing in this society. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 5. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 5. I'm going to read you just a couple. I'm just going to reach in the middle of the parable of the sower and withdraw a couple verses. But I'm going to tell you what I believe is one of the main problems and one of the main reasons we're seeing the quitting that we are in Christianity today. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 5. Now here we are, folks. I landed you right in the middle of the parable of the sower. Okay, are most of you familiar with where we're at? Okay, look at verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. Well, that's important. Because they had no root, they withered. Okay, now let's look at the interpretation that Jesus gives beginning in verse number 20. But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Boy, this next phrase is very important. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He doesn't have much depth. There's no depth. He didn't have much earth. He doesn't have much depth. Therefore, he doesn't have much root. The roots just don't go down very deep. You know what I believe this is talking about? Why do people quit, Brother Jerry? Lack of character. We are failing in the character training of our young people. Folks, listen to me. If you let your kids quit everything they start for 18 years, every time things don't go their way, or they throw a hissy fit, or they decide they don't like it after all, guess what they're going to do for the next 18? You know, we need to get back to raising children with some character. Well, it's hard. Well, learn to do something hard. Well, I know I said I wanted to do this, but I'm not having as much fun as I thought. Then you're just not going to have some more. You're not going to have some fun for a while longer. But you're going to complete it. You're going to get it done. Employers are pulling their hair out. I've got men all over this community that I have broke my back, bent over backwards. Some of you in this room have done the same thing for men in this community. To get them employment and get them a job and try to get them to the point where they can once again provide for a family, get on their feet, and they'll work the place for 2 weeks and quit. What? I want to scream. I put my name on the line till I'm just hesitant to do it anymore. Thinking this family needs help, this poor wife, the kids, this man needs to get into the workforce and get a job. Well, you know, they didn't like the hours and it was hard on the boss and there's some of the influences. Well, welcome to the real world, bud. So what? There's guys all over this room that go into that every single day and have for 20, 30, 40 years. You know why? Because they got a wife, they got a family, and they got bills, and they're going to be responsible. And you know what? You do what you have to do.
Amen.
Well, we need preaching like this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just quit this. Quit that. Get this. Quit that. Quit this. Quit that. Start this. Quit it. Start that. Quit it. I'm not talking about 8, 9, 10-year-olds. I'm talking about 23, 24, 25, 33, 34, 35-year-olds. Good night. What are you looking for? Perfection? You're not going to find it on this earth. Get a job. Well, I don't like it. Then don't like it every day. I'm just telling you, it's foreign to me that you would go take a job and work it and then about the fourth day just kind of get up and say, I'm a little tired, I don't think I'll go in. Or tell somebody that you're going to work for them and you know they need you, and then so you go 2 or 3 days and you wake up and you're sore. Well, that's what happens when you work. You know, I've had to literally tell me that. Well, I woke up and I was sore. Well, dummy! Muscles are being used that were never used in your body up to this point. You just work them. I mean, folks, listen, man. I've got guys in this room put me to shame, but I'm going to tell you something. I've loaded trucks for UPS, got out of my truck, went in between the trucks, lost my supper, puked my guts out, threw up my cookies, whatever you want to say, climbed back in that truck and finished the night. And there's a lot of men in here that got up. You know, I don't remember my dad laying around the house. I remember my dad just saying, oh, I didn't feel like going in today. And we got sick days. We got personal days. We got zodiac days. We got anniversary, birthday, vacation. I mean, people are home more than they're working. And then they gripe about when they have to go to work. I'm just telling you, we need a commitment. You just make a commitment. You know what? You get a job. I wish some of you would be in my office. I'd like to just forward these calls to somebody so you get a little taste of it for about 3 days. I'll tell you what I've about decided. I'm going to talk to the men about, but I've about decided. I think, I don't know, Brother Tim and Sister Angie's downstairs. I think we've carted our last food to the last person. We'll have the food if they need it, but they can show up through those doors right back there and pick it up. I'm just losing patience. They want help, and you know what, buddy? I've been in times when people have helped me, and I have been there. I mean, I'm not looking down my nose. There's been times when I genuinely needed help. Buddy, they want help. They want it hand-delivered. They want to give you a shopping list, and then they want to gripe about what you did or didn't bring when you get there. They won't get off the couch and stop smoking their cigarette and watching TV while you're unloading the car. I'm sorry. Excuse me, but we're taking the tithes and offerings of God's hardworking people and buying these things, and there just comes a point where I've got a little bit of a limit here.
Amen.
And I pray every day, God, don't let me get so jaded and callous that I'm not aware that there's not genuine needs and people that need real help. But at the same time, mercy sakes alive, we've got a society that's just got this. Everybody owes me. I shouldn't have to do anything. And you know what? It's filtered into Christianity. And people show up and you know what? They don't have the character to show up to church four times a week? I have the character to get out of bed on a Sunday morning? I have the character to make it to Sunday school, barely drag into church? I have the character, well, it's the middle of the week and it's Wednesday and after all I work. Well, you're the only one. Reminds me of the phone call I got here a couple months ago. I don't know who it is in Duggar that's going in front of some house with a van laying on the horn. So I get this irate call, you know. I live at such and such address, such and such street, and there's a red van out there. No, white van, I think it was. White van out there pulling it. They've done this weekend. We get out. They pulled in front of my house, and they lay on the horn every Sunday morning. And then this lady said this. Let me tell you something. I work. I said, well, ma'am, I owe you an apology because nobody that comes to my church works. And that guy that's got up early, 2 hours more than he had to, and going around picking up little children and bring them to church, he don't have a job either. I mean, he sleeps in till noon every other day, but he just loves to get up that one morning and aggravate you. Well, I work. I work a job. Well, congratulations, you know. I'm just looking at the phone going. I said, ma'am, I'll tell you what, I promise I will talk to him. And I did. I said, buddy, beep louder and longer. And the world's going on. So this is what's happened in our, even in our churches, folks. This is what we've succumbed to, and we've got to be careful we don't do it here. We replace sound doctrine with ear tickling because we got trying to keep people instead of help people. We replace separation from the world with association with the world. You know why? We don't want to offend anybody. Afraid somebody will leave. You replace commitment with entertainment. Instead of showing up because you ought to, well, if it's entertainment, you know, all you bus captains know, you have what you call promo kids or program kids. You know, my name's Jimmy Gimme Gimme. And what you having? And if there's a prize or something, then they'll come. And if it's not, they won't come. Whatever had to commitment. I'm not against promotion, but I'm going to tell you, shame on a kid that'll come because they're going to get something, won't come the other Sunday. Shame on them. Shame on them. I used to give away promotion on my bus and then preach against it on the way home. We've replaced character with complacency. And parents, you got to be careful because it can happen right here. Where all of a sudden we're spending more time making excuses for our kids than we are rearing our kids. And we let little Sally and little Johnny whine and get their way. And if it gets hard, we just give in and poor things. And well, you know, it's difficult. And well, kids just, you know, baloney, baloney, baloney. Make them stick with some things. They start something and say, all right, you want to start this? I'm telling you right now, you're going to finish it. Oh, you know, at the beginning, they're always gung-ho. Oh, Dad, don't worry, I promise. Oh, yeah. Then about two, I hate this. Well, you're going to hate it a long time. Amen? And just get back to some good old-fashioned character training. Now, I'm going to give you a quick list here at the end. Brother Jerry, am I going to be tempted? Yeah, you're going to be tempted. So am I. I've got to understand why people quit in the Bible, and then I want to give you this. When somebody else quits around you, this is very important. I'm going to go back real quickly and just read this to you. John 21, very interesting. You know, it's one thing for Peter to say this. Let me read it. Then Simon Peter saith to him, I go a-fishing. That's one thing. But this is what's disappointing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, I'm going to end up by just giving you a quick list of things here. What to do when others quit. What to do with others quit. I told you at the beginning of the message, there's going to be times in your life when somebody's going to quit and it's just going to floor you. I mean, I went to Bible college, and I couldn't believe how many people quit my freshman year. I went to Bible college. I watched one of the best teachers that I idolized for 2 years quit the ministry. I didn't say quit teaching how I was interested. Quit the ministry. Got himself in trouble. Got himself in sin trouble and quit the ministry. I idolized the guy. Man, I'm going to tell you, what in the world? I grew up in a preacher's home. I've watched a lot of people come, a lot of people go. I've been in the ministry for a lot of years now. I watched them come and go. Let me give you some things. What do you do when somebody else around you? What if it's, hey, wait a minute. What if it's a family member? Okay? What if it's your best friend in the church? Sometimes it is. Okay? What do you do? Number one, don't be shocked. Quitting has gone on for 2,000 years. This happened 2,000 years ago. It's nothing new. You know, I've just about got the point. I've ceased to be shocked by it. Somebody says, well, I'm quitting. Well, join the club. There's a whole string of these kind of people that come before you, and there'll be a whole string after you. I don't mean to be callous, but folks, it's nothing new. People are going to quit. So I'm not shocked. Don't be shocked by it. Quitting and compromising has gone on for 2,000 years. Number two, learn to hate the sin of quitting and compromise. Learn to hate it. Learn to hate it. Hate it. Don't entertain it. Hate it. Don't okay it. Hate it.
Amen.
Don't defend it. Hate it. Learn to hate the sin of quitting and compromise. If I didn't learn to do that, I'd never finish college. Didn't mean that I didn't love those that quit. Didn't mean that some of them weren't my best friends that quit. But you know what? Once they done it, they done it. They went their way. I'm going my way. I'm sorry, I'm not going with you. Peter says, I go fishing. The rest of them should have said, well, then go, bud. We're going to go find Jesus. Okay, number three. When others quit, stay. When others quit, just stay. Okay? Stop following the crowd. Don't let one quitter influence you. This is very important. Let me finish reading John chapter 6. I'm there. Just listen. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Well, that's a huge question. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know what? Just because the majority quits doesn't mean you ought to quit. Just because your best friend quits doesn't mean you ought to quit. Just because a family member quits doesn't mean you ought to quit. Somebody else backslides doesn't mean you ought to backslide. I mean, you don't know how many men would still be in churches when they came home, got mad over something, the wife looked them in the eyeball and said, honey, I love you, and if you want to do that, fine, but I am not going to quit, and the children are not going to quit, and if you want to make that decision, you do it, but you're going to go out of the will of God by yourself. I wonder how many women would have stayed in church when they came home mad over something that happened in the nursery or Lord help us, wherever else. And they throw a hissy fit to their husband. We ought to go somewhere else and this is ridiculous. If all of a sudden that man would grow a spine. Say, woman, hush! Amen. Say, listen, honey, I know you're upset, but I'm going to tell you something. This whole idea of quitting, you might as well forget it. We've never been more blessed. God's presence there. That's our church. We can work this thing out. We're staying. Don't even entertain it. And by the way, stop being let out of the church door by your children. A little junior high or teenage brat comes home whining about this, whining about that. Mom and dad just, boy, get up and the next thing you know, they're out the door and they're down somewhere else. And why? Because junior didn't like something? It is a shame. It's a wicked shame. I mean, folks, life's not perfect. Not everything's going to be perfect. Sorry. Can't do it. But you know what? You just decide to stay. You see, number four, replace the disappointment with renewed dedication. Replace the disappointment with renewed dedication. Now, this is the way I've always looked at it. Now, I hope this little philosophy I give you right now will help you. When somebody quits, my mindset has never been, oh, I better quit too. I mean, I don't even understand that thinking. My mindset is this. Guess what? We just lost one. Guess what? There's fewer of us. The rest of us need to renew our level of dedication to make up for the quitter. Let's keep going.
Amen.
And if you just decide that's going to be your mindset from now on, you're not going to let quitters influence you to quit. You're going to hate the sin of quitting. You're going to go on no matter what. And not only that, but you're going to turn what could be a negative into a positive motivation in your life. Okay, there's fewer of us. So that means we're going to have to work harder. That means we're going to have to be more dedicated. It means we're going to have to plug in. It means we're going to have to go. Listen, folks, we're not plagued here. I mean, I'm picking a good time to preach this. Man, we're not plagued here with quitting. Matter of fact, we got a lot of joining going on. Not just new people coming in, but people that have been here going to higher levels of involvement that they are. And I'm thrilled. I'm happy. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful, because somewhere down the road it's going to happen, and you might be shocked who it is. You might be shocked who it is. Number five, and I'll finish with this. When you want to quit, look at Calvary. It's worked for me for a lot of years. When you want to quit, look at Calvary. Go to Calvary. No, go to Calvary. You stand at the base of the cross and you watch Jesus hang there and endure what he endured for you. And you watch him do it all the way to the end. And you listen to him say, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and pay the full price for your sins, when it would have been a ton easier for him to call those 10,000 angels and just said, "I ain't doing this." And when you get done standing at the foot of the cross and watching that, and you come back and tell me why you need to quit, get on your knees before God and say, "God, this is why I need to quit." And what I hope to have done is to give you some, this isn't a motivational speech, because motivational lasts about as long as it takes to get to the back door. I hope that I've given you some Bible principles, because people will quit. A fact of life. And number two, you in your lifetime many times will be tempted to quit, and they aren't going to come. But we could line them all the way up here, down the aisle, all the way out down Main Street of Jasonville. People that are right here in this community that one time was serving God and quit, and if they were walk behind there, if they were honest tonight, they'd look out here and say, "Don't stop what you're doing. Don't leave this place. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get discouraged. Stay in there. Do the right thing. Keep your family in church," because we made the decision years ago to quit, and then the horror story start. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just shore us up tonight. Shore us up. Lord, for many, this message is just a reaffirming what they've already decided, but boy, that's good for us too. That's good for us too. For others, Lord, it may just be some new material. Family's not always going to understand. People aren't always going to understand, and there's always going to be the temptation, Lord, to back up. The world is alluring, and Lord, there's a lot of folks that are choosing the path of Demas, the path of John Mark. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rear a generation here that's just steadfastly committed to the work of God.